Hey yo, and here we go. Welcome to another edition of We Talk Music. We are on the air and in your ear. And I am Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am the chief defender of the faith. And I am joined by my co-host, the Crown Prince of Charisma. I almost called you the Clown Prince of Charisma, but that's okay. You're Mo.
You're also Mr. Brett, the King of the Casters.
The King of the Casters. And, I forgot the King of the Casters.
I'd also like to be known as the Futurist from now on. Let's just keep adding nicknames. What the hell? It's not about us, Brett. It's never been about us.
It's true. We have an extra special guest who I am super happy to talk to. The lead singer of Steelheart. We have Miljenko Matijevic.
What's happening?
How did
What's
I do?
What's happening, gentlemen?
Did I get it right?
Perfect. You did it absolutely perfect. That was a good job. Oh. Everyone screwed it up all day, so you did it perfectly.
Sweet!
Before the episode's over, I might still screw it up, so let's...
You're fine.
Well, now that we've gotten it right, it's...
No got it right one, Patty.
So anyways, Miljenko, how you doing? And you know, we're happy that you came on to talk about the new album.
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. I'm doing well. It's been a long day of amazing interviews, and lucky to be able to do them, honestly, considering everybody wants to hear what I got to say. Well, that's great, isn't it? Usually everybody doesn't want to hear anybody says anything. Yeah, man. So the album, that'll be up Friday, and there's a lot of, how would I say, it was an intense album to actually finish, you know, mix, because as I don't know if you guys know, but Kenny passed away a month after, you know, after that show in the Milan.
Yeah, I saw
guitar
that.
Player.
Yeah, that's
so it was really heavy, and actually, you know, because I was asking why did it take so long, you know, to just, you know, to mix it, and it's just like, well. To be honest, it was a pretty heavy moment. You know what I mean? It was just like I had literally had to drag myself into the studio to just even listen to anything. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, absolutely.
But we came through, and I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we finished it, and you know, work with everybody at the editors and all of that stuff. It really came out. I think it came out pretty good. You know, for a 1,500 seat venue, which was a lot of fun. So I hope everyone enjoys it.
You know, you brought up Kenny Kanowski, the guitarist who's on the album. We know him, of course, as a singer and guitarist, songwriter. But can you tell us a little bit about Kenny, who he was as a man?
Yeah, Kenny was a very, he was an interesting character. He was funny. He was a really funny guy. He was always cracking jokes. I mean, always cracking jokes. He was one of those really weird guitar players that I don't know if it's like, I don't know if he ever made a mistake. You know what I'm saying? It's like really bizarre. I remember we were writing, working on the weight record. And this guy would be literally on the couch, feet up in the air somehow, on his back with a guitar, like, I don't even know how, even holding it, and the guy's soloing and playing perfect. I mean, it was, like, really bizarre. You know, he's just one of those characters. And a great singer and a great writer. And, you know, it worked. I mean, we had a great time when we worked together. He was a pain in the ass at times, to be honest with you, you know. I mean, sometimes we fought like brothers, and it's just what it is, you know. But, just to go back a little bit, it was just a very odd, you know, when you know somebody for many years and you perform it, and one of the really most difficult things was that I had a friend of mine actually I'm sorry one of my the girls that work for me in the t-shirts, she called me a week and a half before, and she said, hey, Kenny died. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I called Kenny. I said, hey, Kenny. And he answered the phone. I'm like, oh, all right, you're fine, you know? And then a week later, he literally died.
That's insane.
I mean, wow. It's just that, oh, no, it's really intense, you know? So it was pretty heavy. It was pretty heavy. I still don't know exactly how he passed away, but all I know is that he was, you know, found at home in a swimming pool. So anyway, but I'm happy that we were able to finish this live album, and I hope everybody enjoys it and feels the energy, you know, of everyone being there that night. So
it's a really strong performance you guys gave. And of course it's also available as a long form video, Rock in Milan. I guess it was at the Frontiers Music Festival it was recorded. What was the venue you were in?
I can see it, but I can't remember the name of it. It was just a cool venue. It was almost like a theater. It's like a theater set up like a club, but it was a pretty big venue. It was a nice venue. It was very professional. It was good. It was it worked great.
The Dirty Girl video out there, for people can see it and kind of get a look at the venue. And I just thought it looked like a great crowd. And they looked really into it. They just packed to the stage and just, you know, really into the music.
No, it was good. It was a good night. It was a nice, hot, sweaty, dirty night, the way it should be in a rock show, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's no question that you look like the kind of guy who wants to go out there and have a dirty, sweaty rock show.
We, you know what, this is it. Isn't that what we do? You know what I mean? I love it. Like if I could be like the shows like in Indonesia where it's like so humid and hot, I would love it. I'm okay with that every night being like that, because first of all, for me, it's my voice, you know, it just opens up my throat. It's really nice. The other way is it's just good to get a good workout in and just rip and sing and sweat and then everybody else is in it. You got the chicks going crazy, the whole thing. It just works. That's what a rock show is, you know?
Well, you know, you guys have a sound that is a little bit different, I think, than most of the other groups that you're kind of associated with. Because is that, do you think, because you guys kind of were an East Coast band, you didn't really hang out and have to, you know, go up and down the Sunset Strip for several years?
I think it's a lot of things. I think you know, if you listen to some of the newer music that was released, it's just I don't know. It's just constantly growing, I guess. It's constantly changing. You know what I mean? I don't even know if I could write like the songs back in, you know, the 80s. You know, because it's just constantly evolving. Maybe that's what you're hearing. You know, you're hearing a constant change. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's good or bad. But I don't know. I just write what's coming through me. So I have no choice, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'd read an interview with that you did after the release of your last album. And yeah, I did find it interesting because they had asked about the idea of Frontiers, whether they wanted you to sound like you did back then. And I mean, I'm glad that you don't, because I think it's one of those cases where you're exploring what you need to explore. And I found that it's almost impossible for any band to truly recapture that moment, because you're not the same band anymore. You don't have the same feelings, the same emotions and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, you're in a different era. You know what I mean? It's like you're in the future, you know, and besides not being the same people, if I really focused in, I could tap into it. You know what I'm saying? But it's just, is that what is going to make me feel great? Is that what's going to make everyone else feel great? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just where I am now and what's coming through me is where I'm supposed to be, right? You know, I mean, the idea is not to go too far into the, you know, into the abyss that nobody gets it, you know? So that's why that last record, you know, I was really focused on, making sure that we have the beauty elements of the past, but we're in today's world. You know what I'm saying? So this way, I really considered, I didn't want to lose any of the fans that really love that energy, you know, but also that we're today. So I hope that everybody sees that and enjoys it.
Well, I was going to ask about My Dirty Girl, because it's the only song from that album on the through Worlds of Stardust on the new live album. And then it was that kind of a specific choice that you only wanted the one?
No, we wanted, you know, it's like, it's hard to even make a decision because there's so many songs, you know, at this point. I mean, we added Twisted. You Got Me Twisted to the set now. And we did Sweden Rock. We filmed and recorded that as well. And we added Twisted, and we're gonna add probably another song from the album. But you got, you know, we didn't do anything from Tangled and Reins. We didn't do anything from Good to Be Alive. It's just, you only got so much time on that stage, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, and it goes by pretty quick, you know? Yeah, so, I mean, we wanted to show some of the music songs from the Rockstar movie, you know? And then We All Die Young is from the Wait album. So we did the first album, and oh shit, there he is. It's already like, it's already an hour and a half gone by, you know?
So, and the DVD or it also has an extra track too, Live to Die on that. So, but I mean, yeah, no, I think you did a great job, you know, song selection. It was actually interesting. There's a point in there where you're talking about her, whether or not you should play She's Gone. So it was it kind of a loose set, or how do you guys go about picking their songs?
It's like, you know, we have a bunch of songs, and it's like, it's almost like, you know, it's like they asked me, really, what are you wearing tonight? Well, when I leave my home, you know, what am I wearing on stage? It's like, you don't know until you get there. You know, you don't know until you feel the energy. And sometimes the songs, we'll cancel some songs and we'll add another song, or, you know what I mean? Just change them out, only because of the vibe of the audience, the vibe of the, you know, what's going on. And the set is pretty close, but there's songs that get moved around or changed or just X'd out. Depends what the show, you know, calls for.
Now, you do a lot of stuff. I mean, you've directed videos, you've produced the albums. Like, what's the real difference between producing a live album versus producing a studio album?
Well, the idea is to capture the moment, right? You know, and I mean, basically both of it is to create it as real as possible, you know. And the album, when you're doing it in a studio, it's capturing the honesty of the song, that moment, you know. And live would be more of capturing the energy of that moment, of that show, you know, whether you have some screw ups here and there, or, you know, a little off pitch stuff, that's okay. That's part of it. You know what I mean? That's a part of the energy, and to make you feel like you're there, you know, that's the key. I hope we capture that, by the way. So,
yeah, for sure. I mean, I there's no question. I mean, just listening to it, I definitely felt like I was there. But more, I think more to the point, I felt like I really wanted to be there.
Oh, that's even better. I like that even better. That's cool. Thank you. That's great. Yeah.
Because it just sounded like, you know, so much energy, and so and like, I, you know, as I'm going, I can sing along with the songs, and it's fantastic, and I always, that's what I want in a concert, and so, yeah, I definitely wish that I was at the concert.
This actually brings a good question. Brett, how many times do you think you've listened to that first Steelheart album?
Ooh.
If you were to guess.
Oh, good,
well,
Lord.
Guess? All right. 180,000 times. You're asking me how many times did I listen to it?
No, how many times did Brett listen to it?
He's asking me.
Oh.
I'm telling you. And he's saying he's singing along to them. That's why he's so happy to talk to you. I think he might have talked 180,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, I think you had that first week it came out, didn't you, Brett?
I definitely had the second album the first week it came out. But yeah, there's no question. Because man, back in that day, I had the cassettes. And I'll tell you, Diego, I was so happy when CDs actually came out because I really wanted to upgrade so that I could get a better quality option for listening to your voice.
Oh, well, there you are. I love it. I love it. Yeah, well, I you know what? I think I heard that record more than you have because I had to record it. I had to do the demos on it. I had to do... you know, all that, arrange it. Oh my God. And you know what it is? It's like you have your whole life to write that first album. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So it's like, so you've been here. It's like, oh God. It's like even when I'm making videos, it's like, come on, cut it. Cut it quick because I don't want to lose the energy or the vibe of it to see it 50, you know, million times and stuff like that. So.
You had a demo of about five songs. Did you have a full album's worth of songs though sitting there, or did you have to come up with that?
Oh yeah. Oh no. Yeah. Those are done. That album was delivered the way you heard that album, the way originally, that was delivered in demos, sounding like that. Not as the quality, of course, wasn't that, because we were recording all on cassettes and you know. In the rehearsal rooms, but it was they were good. I mean, it was done well, you know.
Absolutely.
Just needed to be recorded, you know, on a major, how would I say, multi-track system. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm interested because Mo and I have talked about the idea of like things getting better with age. So I'm intrigued. In your mind, like, what do you think has gotten better for you with age?
Good question. I even my lower register is nice. It's really nice and deep and dark. And I can still, you know, scream. My writing, I feel my writing has evolved into a whole nother level. Producing, directing. I mean, I feel like I really just grew up in many areas, you know? So, and every step of the way, I'm always focusing and careful just not to lose any of the past, you know, beauty and energy that I've learned, but and be open to whatever I'm seeing or whatever's coming to me or whatever they want to send me. Information wise, you know, but, yeah. And also, it's just being a bit more, peaceful, I guess, you know, just like it's at the point now, it's like really painting, you know, it's painting and it's like, you know, you want everyone to love your music and your art and be accepted. But you reach a point, you know, in your career sometimes where that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for more of being honest of what you're creating and what you create and knowing that you've created it, even if somebody else doesn't see it right away. But so all of that, put all of that together, that's what I'm feeling, you know. More confidence maybe, you know, into what I'm creating as an artist and not needing so much validation from someone else, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, because when you're young, I would expect, I mean, as we all do, we do need that validation. And I think as we grow older and you're allowed to experience more, then you're able to kind of, you know, gain that confidence. And I mean, there's no question, like with you, as I said, I mean, you've directed videos and you've produce the albums. I mean, it's amazing. And the fact that people are giving you these opportunities is also exceptional.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. and that's, you know, I'm happy that, I guess the best way to say it is I'm happy that people are, you know, recognizing it, you know what I mean? So it's, I gotta tell you, I'm excited to see what life has to offer coming up. And there's a lot of things are really opening and, just blossoming more than it's really a beautiful time right now. So I'm really, let's see what happens in the next year. I think there could be some really great stuff happening. Yeah. I'm ready to do some great stuff. I want to do some big things. So let's do it.
Yeah. We want to support you doing it. You know,
well,
absolutely.
Thank you. I mean, we have so many things in the works. You know, I'm just trying to wrap my head around everything, how to get to a position where we can accomplish all of it, you know? And it's not things like we're talking about it, we're going to do. It's things that already are in the can. They just need to be brought home, so to speak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like we have footage for 10 years shooting for this documentary film. And we filmed the making of Through Worlds of Stardust. I hired camera guys to live with me for 7 months while I was recording, while we were, you know, putting this whole project together. And I wanted to show what it takes to make a record today, you know? And so we have that, and we have more music. February 14th, we're going to release a song for Valentine's Day. And it's a song, I'm So In Love With You, from the album. And we recorded it with four cellos and a contrabass.
Oh, wow.
It's it was beautiful. It's beautiful. And not only that, there's more to the story, too. But we shot the video already in Croatia. And it's such a magnificent, magnificent place that it just... But when you see it, you'll understand. We shot in Pula, or in the Roman Colosseum.
Wow.
And yeah, exactly. They 3 hours with no tourists in the place. That's beautiful, right?
Oh yeah, that's amazing.
So so basically, I'm singing a song in the middle of an arena. I'm So In Love With You. Okay, and we're gladiators, were killing each other, and, you know, lions eating each other, eating people, and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know, let's see what happens, you know. We're out there, we're doing it. I'm not sitting around, and I just hope I have enough time in this lifetime to do everything I want to do, you know?
Yeah, isn't that the key?
You had actually mentioned the documentary, Dana Altman is the name of the documentary filmmaker you had mentioned earlier.
Dana started a project with me. We did. We shot 6 years together. And then he went off making other movies. And then we took it over and we just kept filming for the rest of the years. And now we're at the point where it's like, because we wanted to cut it then. And I was like, well, it doesn't make sense. It's too early, you know, to make a documentary film. And now it's about time to make the doc, you know, because mm-hmm. I've lived a lot since then, been through a lot, created a lot. And I think now is time to, you know, talk about it. But it's challenging. I got to tell you, there's 14 terabytes of footage.
I could. Well, I mean, because I was thinking, honestly, if your life is a life that, you know, like it almost seemed like imagine from a script writer. Like, if I remember correctly, you were studying to be an engineer, and literally, the story at least is, I don't know if this is true or not, that you just had a moment where you said, you know, hell with it, stood up and threw your books out the window and walked away from it. Is that accurate?
Absolutely accurate. Absolutely. I mean, I was literally in my condo, and I'm on the floor, actually, you know, and I got the drafting table. It's a little chilly outside, you know, got my cup of tea. I got my pen, and I'm pencil and I'm drawing, you know, doing this. And then I got a call. I forgot who it was, Chris or Jimmy or somebody. It's like, and we're talking about music. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? Are we doing this or what? And I'm like, when I look at the books, and I go, I'll call you back. And I'll go, what is this? What is this? I'm a rock star. I'm not, I don't want to do this shit all my life. Yeah. You know, I'd be like, no way. And I did. I took all the books, literally all the books, out of the second story, and I threw them all out the window. And I was
done.
That's
the part that gets me, is that you just did it. You just threw them out. Like, that's the commitment that it takes, right?
You know what? It exactly. It's like this. You know, people ask me, what do you want to say? What can you say to the generation today who are musicians? You know, do you have any advice? And the first question is, how hot is the fire? Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't answer how hot is the fire, well, then we know that you should be doing something else, right? And to me, I mean, I can't even think straight how hot the fire is. You know, it is so, it's the passion, it's the, I don't even know what the hell's coming through me, you know, the accident. I mean, I went through that crazy accident to that. I couldn't even, that didn't stop me. That actually made me even more moving forward in a crazy way. How? I have no idea, but, you know, this is, and I lost my train there for a second. I just got all kookies. yeah, this is, you know, this is what I do. And it really is, it's a beauty. I'm honored to be able to do it. It's been 30 years of touring the world. Next year is Steelheart's 30th anniversary. And, yeah, man. Wow. Again, my fire is still as hot as it was from day one. And I think before I step left foot into the other side, I think I'll have one more song to give everybody.
I'll still be writing the last song.
Well, I'll be like, well, we're just, here's one last one before I go.
just keep on pushing that, pushing it down. One more song, one more song.
Yeah, wait. You can be. Yeah, don't have to get to it right away. Then, if it's only one more, you know. <Yeah. laughs> Let's hope, well, you hope, have a making, lot more, and then one more right, yeah, at the end.
Guys, well, guys, I hope I'm making sense, because I'm really. I'm already a little bit delirious. This is my 13th interview today,
oh, God.
And I hope I'm making sense, and all the listeners are not going, oh, man, this guy's a fool.
Well, I mean, we won't keep you too much longer, but I know we have a few more if you're okay.
Cool. No, absolutely.
All right. I wanted to say, happy slightly belated birthday to you.
Thank you.
I know that was November 30th. So, I saw that you released the Christmas song on your birthday. And
oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Now, are you planning on doing more stuff like that? And I also wanted to know, like, what it was like from a vocal perspective to go from, like, singing Steelheart to singing the Christmas song.
It's awesome. I love music. I love all of it. You know, I love singing. I really was thinking about this. I know I may be out of my mind, but I was thinking about doing an opera thing.
Wow.
You know, just
that'd
like
be awesome.
Yeah, just for the right? Just for the hell of it. I think it'd be fun. But no, because I love all of it. I love singing all of it. And the Christmas thing is beautiful. I was gonna originally do a whole record this year, a Christmas album, and we got just way too busy of everything we were doing. It was just too much. And but I did do this song, and I felt, well, I don't want to wait till next year. Well, let's put something out. Let's give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And and I see Christmas, you know, what everybody does, bands, they'll do Christmas, they'll do rock and Christmas, they'll do, you know, their rendition. And I'm like more old traditional. I like that old, you know, Christmas music, you know, that really gentle, that nice Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, Sinatra, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I did this song, in the vein of Sinatra and Nat King Cole put together.
Yeah, that I can see that for sure.
Yeah, that was the vibe. I hope everyone likes it. It's a whole different vibe, but it's Christmas. You know what I mean? That's what it's supposed to be.
No, and it's great. So, I love hearing vocalists that can do what you do, also do something like this. It's fabulous. And I wanted to ask.
Yeah, a little fun.
I wanted to ask too, mm-hmm. like, what do you think of what's going on with like all the furor right now over the Baby It's Cold Outside? Because I see so many radio stations are pulling the song, and so like as a singer, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm a little behind the times on this one. They're pulling the song. They're pulling the Baby It's Cold Outside. That one.
Yeah.
With Dean Martin.
And the other versions, just because of the Me Too generation and just the way that it kind of, I guess they feel the song is painting the relationship within it, I don't necessarily agree with that myself, but I'm interested in your opinion on that.
Well, to be brutally honest with you, I wasn't following that, and I'm a little behind on the times on that, but from what you're telling me. That's pretty silly, you know, considering all the ridiculous stuff that's going on in this world. Let's leave the songs alone. I don't know. I can't really elaborate on that because I really don't know the details. Sorry. I've been a little bit in the dark on that one.
No, that's totally fine.
Makes you feel any better. This is the first I've heard of it too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I just happened to see a news report this morning, and then when I saw the Christmas song, I just put the two together. But no, that's totally cool.
Well, I hope they like my Christmas song.
Yeah, there you go.
Hope they won't be pulling that one.
let's pull every Christmas song except for yours. What the hell? That's what I say.
That's what I'm saying. Have you guys heard Hallelujah that I did a couple years ago?
No, actually.
Got it.
You need to hear that one.
Yeah.
Hallelujah is, Hallelujah I did with a choir, orchestra, and a piano.
Wow.
You should hear that.
That's great. I got goosebumps just thinking about that. Because you got one of the best voices. You really do. You got an incredible voice. And I just can't wait to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. Those two need to, those. So what I'm doing, if I can't finish a full album, you know, by next year, no matter what I'm gonna just try to put at least one out every year, you know what I mean, just for fun, you know what
yeah.
I mean, kind of thing. And like this was a joy to make. I already started another one, which we'll see, you know, for next year, but it was a pleasure to make. Ed, my friend Ed Roth, piano player, he's just absolutely amazing. And you know, we got the fire going. I got a big huge concert grand piano in my living room. We get a couple of beers and we arrange it and we sing it, do it, and it's like, you know, we record a piano and then I go in the studio, sing it, it's done. Great.
Yeah, I mean that's the nice thing nowadays about being able to just record something and put it out so immediately. And I think it can help bring you closer. I mean, you are a machine for sure, because like when I look at your Facebook and I see all the little videos you do, all the updates, I mean, it's fantastic. Like you keep yourself so close to the fans that it's wonderful.
Well, I try. I really do try. I got to tell you guys, it is, it is a big job. It is a big job. And now that I've had Stu Hart Records for a long time, but now everything we're focusing on is releasing on Stu Hart Records, and I'm building a team, you know, and I got a really good team so far. There's a couple of pieces I'm still missing. And one of those is that I'm really, really want to connect with a great PR publicist, you know, it's interesting because it is personal. It's important to be personal. But it's very difficult to do everything I do all day, write, you know, and be connected with the fans. So thanks for noticing, because I wasn't quite sure if everybody even notices all those little things and hard work, because it is, you know, it's you know, it's a lot. I'll be honest with you. You know, if you gotta, it's a lot. If somebody else is doing it, it's easier. But when you're sometimes, you know, even just posting something, it could be a lot. You know what I mean? Especially if you're at dinner, you'd rather have dinner instead of people looking at you posting. It's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure. But yeah, because
I just have
Fantastic.
Go ahead, Brett.
No, I'm good.
I just had a couple more questions, if you don't mind. It won't keep you much longer. But so this being a live album, I'm just kind of wondering what your process is before hitting the stage. Do you tend to take or keep to the same routine? You know, what kind of goes through your head? What's kind of your the final few minutes before you take the stage? What's that like for you?
The final few minutes. Well, first of all, the final few minutes would be. I gather the band and whoever else is in the room, and I have them, we all stand around and we put our hand in the middle, you know, just, almost like a football team, whatever you want to call it. And I just say a few words of connecting everybody. I usually thank everybody for being there and that we get to do this again. And I just say a few words of whatever I'm feeling of that energy of that space. And we do that huddle and then we do a break. And then the band goes out and they start the show. And before I go out, I just have a moment of quiet and a meditation for a second before I jump out on stage. And that's the way it is every night.
Has it always been kind of that same routine, or has that kind of developed over the years as life has changed?
That has been for a long time. I'm not sure. I think we did it with Steelheart, too, in the old days with the original guys. I can't remember. I got to think back. But this has definitely been something that I even when I was with the Doors, I asked Robbie, Ray, and Phil, and Ty, same thing. I have that on film too. We're all of us doing that.
Wow.
You know, it just, you know, it's, you know, it's a, I feel it's a powerful thing because, you know, you're going on that stage as a team, you know what I mean? And it's nice for everybody to be focused in the same energy, you know? So it just brings everyone tighter and closer. And there's moments sometimes that, you know, you have to rush on stage or something happens and you don't have that moment of, how would I say, connection. And the show is sometimes not as good, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, the audience doesn't know, but we know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it kind of unifies us. You know what I mean? So I really like doing that, you know. That's my, otherwise I may as well not even show up to anything and just get out of the limo and jump on stage, sing, and then just jump back in the car and leave, you know?
Yeah. One other question I was curious about, the album concludes with, We All Die Young, which of course you co-wrote with Kenny. And I'm just wondering if that song now has a different significance to play live and what it's like to perform now, given the events that have occurred.
Well, I mean, it's still it's probably more powerful now than ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the one thing that song, which is a shame. I was thinking about the original "We All Die Young" off the Wait album, remaster it or remix it, and re-release it with a video.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it deserves it actually. Because that song originally, I don't know if you guys know, but that song was going to radio when the movie, that Friday, that weekend of September 11th,
mm-hmm.
It was going.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was in, the movie was in the box office, number two in the box office. That following week, it was a Monday or Tuesday when they go to radio, and it was going to radio, with a massive promotion behind it, including a video, okay, from the movie. And 7-Eleven hit that Monday. Okay. The minute that happened, everything was halt, and especially anything with the word die, blood, death, anything in that was banned from the radio station. So it ruined the release of that song. I really feel that song would have been very, very popular, you know. So So I'm going to try to, I'm thinking about, you know, giving it that respect. So having said that, all of that, Kenny, all these years, you know, it gives me more strength now than a weird somber thing. It makes me even more happier in a weird sort of way. I know it sounds crazy, but it's, you know, okay, well, he's free, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's free. So,
well, that's beautiful. I have to tell you that always liked your music, but talking with you, I like you, the person, even more now, you know, than the music.
You.
Like, you're a fascinating guy, and I've really, really enjoyed this. And I will honor you by not screwing up your name at all, and I'll leave it to Brett on the way out again.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it, gentlemen. And I hope we can do it again.
We hope so, too. Please, why don't you take this chance to tell everybody where they can get the album?
Well, you can get the album. There's two ways. You can get it on steelheartstore.com, or just go to the website. Facebook, it should be on their links. And if you get it there, you'll get a signed copy. So,
nice.
Right. Otherwise, you have to buy it through, the Frontiers site, and that's coming from Italy. So, but. Either way, it works. It's going to be the same one, and it's you'll be happy to have it, I promise.
I think so. And what's the best way for people to keep up with all the information with you having so many products? You're going to – projects on the go. What's the best way for people to find out about what's going to be happening?
Yeah, I think, it's interesting. I think I would say the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter. Those are the three main ones we use all the time. And you have Steelheart Twitter, you have the Steelheart Instagram, which we rebuilt actually everything. New website, all the platforms have all been rebuilt. So they all, they're all looking pretty sharp, I think. And also you can just do Miljenko Instagram, Miljenko Facebook, and also the Twitter as well. So, you know, and the worst, if you get lost, well, just Google us and
you'll find us. Well, I love that Steelheart 3D logo. That thing's fantastic. Looks great.
Yeah, you know, the cover is super cool with you in the blue kind of bathe and, you know, the band in the little corners and everything. I think that's awesome too, by the way.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I think the Frontiers, that's their whole crew. They did an amazing job, the artists and videographers, all that stuff. It came out really good. It's been a really good really good journey. You know, it was difficult, but we made it through. So
awesome.
I hope everyone enjoys it. I love you all, and hope to see you guys all on stage.
All Brett, right. Put a bow on this one then.
All right. Well, Miljenko Matijevic, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. We appreciate you and your music, and we hope for nothing but the best for you in the future.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. As to you as well. All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks.
Come on. Come on, you crazy Milan motherfucker! This is called My Daddy Girl.